Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter Interviews. This time we have our first returning guest, and that is Miss Elizabeth herself. Lizzie, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Wait, I'm the first one you've asked questions to twice?
Yes.
How can this be?
Yeah, you're the first returner. We did Eric, Mike, and Shannon ahead of you, and they were all first-timers.
I feel so
on
special.
On Random Chatter Interviews. So, yeah. Yeah, you're the first person that everyone already knows about. So, like, what could she possibly tell us that we don't already know?
So many things.
Exactly. See, this is where they're wrong. So, we're going to build the suspense. And so, like, this is a totally new thing because, you know, I'm not going to go into, well, you know, gee, Liz, tell me where you were born and where you grew up and what you were interested in as a kid. Because we already did that last year, people.
Yeah, you already know all the things there is to know about me in my past.
Yeah.
So, but what could there possibly be to talk about?
Well, so we have a whole year's worth of things to catch up on.
That's true.
So what had, of course, I ask this as if I don't know. what have you been up to in the last year?
Oh, gosh. It's actually been a crazy year. Lots of like ups and downs, and I don't want to like get into all the nitty gritty of it. A lot of people who follow me on Instagram or Twitter know about sort of the journey I've been on, mm-hmm. As far as like grief and, you know, my grandmother passed away and I had some other like family things go on. And so it hasn't been like the easy breezy year that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Which I think can be it can be ripe for like lessons and learning and growing and whatever. And, I think one of the hardest things to realize was because I've been trying to regularly blog from Nerd in the City and it like hasn't happened. And the only sort of time when I really failed inspiration is when I went to Paris for New Year's, which is mm-hmm. an inspirational place. You sort of can't help but be inspired by, Paris. So, that was like a really helpful moment. I was able to like let some grief out and sort of like have a New Year's resolution and walk across the bridge, so to speak, metaphorically. Mm-hmm. But even after that, after I wrote all of my Paris blogs and hemmed and hawed to get them all out because I didn't want it to be over, I just realized it was really hard to write from Nerd in the City, and I just didn't understand why. Because it's me, it's who I am, it's what I started in New York, and it's, you know, it's my brand. But then I went back to New York in August, and I realized I'm not that person. I don't live in the city. And mm-hmm. yes, I'm still a nerd, and sort of once New York's a part of you, it's always a part of you. It's like under your skin. But New York really spurred so many ideas and so many blog posts and so many adventures and my web series and all of these cool things. And I'm just not in that place anymore. And it took going back to really realize that I'm in a very different place in my life. And then I started to think like, well, what sort of would represent me now? And what do I need to pivot to start be able to allow myself those ideas and those inspirations to start flowing again.
But before we go into that, though, if I can cut you off.
Go ahead.
And I'm going to play like psychotherapist here. And if there's something that you don't want to talk about, by all means, let me know.
I mean, you know, I love sharing, so I'm totally open to sharing.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you did go through a lot of stuff over the last year. I mean, you had little things, you had big things, you had things going on in your personal life, things going on in your professional life. You had there was a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
there was a lot of stuff, and yeah, you do share a lot of that stuff. And as I appreciate being your friend because there's also things that you shared with me that you didn't necessarily share publicly.
Right.
What beyond this kind of, I guess, rediscovery of your inspiration, what else did you learn? What else did you gain from these experiences? I mean, people go through a lot of hard times, and I think the real test of character is how we come out on the other end of that. So like what did you learn from this, and how do you feel? I mean, even the bad stuff you can kind of benefit from if you look at it from a certain perspective and you channel that the right way. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think that is sort of one of the main
question.
Yeah, I like it. I think, and I have gone through a counseling process, a grief counseling process of about 7 or 8 sessions, mm-hmm. which was largely helpful for just getting my brain in the right spot. But I think you touched on like a major takeaway is that even the bad can lead you somewhere. I mean, I sort of to add a little nerdy spin on it. I think even if you think about somebody in like Frodo's journey to Mordor, like that, mm-hmm. the pathway has all of these different starts and stops and quagmires and detours and everything. But the destination is still waiting for you. You just have to figure out your way around it. So I think some of the things that I took away from it was, number one, the less I talk about it, the more I feel like I'm alone in it. And that's, I think, one of the hardest things to get for people to get over. So whether it's talking with, you know, you or people on Instagram or my family or my counselor, when I wasn't talking about it, I felt really isolated, and it made it easier for me to fall into depression and really think that I was alone in the struggle, or think that like no one else goes through the thing that I'm going through or whatever. And I think that's the danger we all sort of fall into. And my other struggle was that I thought, so when I went to Paris, I stopped in the Love Bridge, which is the one with all the locks on it. And I have a blog post about it. And I didn't do locks because there's actually the Parisians are very worried about the bridges crumbling because the architects didn't take into account these locks.
Yeah. And hundreds of pounds of these things.
Yeah. And if you think about the weight of a lock and then you see the volume of locks that have been put on these bridges, it sort of really does call into question the integrity of the architecture. So
true.
I read that article and I was like, oh, okay, well, I won't contribute to the sinking bridge, but I brought ribbons instead. And I sort of brought one for, I had a friend at church who was murdered, and then one for my grandmother. And then, so I brought ribbons for each of those people and put them on. And then I also opened it to my family if they wanted to send one overseas and I could put one on the bridge for them. So the three people that were really sort of feeling that and sent one with me were my aunt, my cousin Sterling, and then my dad, who actually forgot to give me his. So I had like a sort of dummy one for him, but I knew he wanted to. So I sort of did one for him anyways. But that really was really helpful for me to like have a ritual that was sort of head clearing. So, but this is sort of the rub of the thing is, so I did it on New Year's Eve and I walked off the bridge. I had a good cry. I walked off the bridge and I was like, that's behind me, moving on. And so, and obviously that's not the case. I wasn't able to just move on. And that was sort of a part that was like, why can't I move on? I did this whole symbolic thing. Like I cleaned the problems of my mind. What's going on? So when I got to counseling, she was like, I was telling her about this ritual and she was like, well, okay. Do you feel like you moved on from that? And I was like, no. And she's like, good, because you didn't. And I was like, no, obviously not. But in my mind, like I had put it behind me. And she said this, and then I'll never forget this. And this was the most helpful thing. She said, grief isn't something you walk away from. It's something you absorb. And once you absorb it into your skin and into your heart and you make room for it and it becomes a part of your story moving forward, you find out how to move forward. But if you're just running away from it, it will constantly come back up to you because that's not how we operate. And I think that takeaway like really changed the game for me because I started to say like, oh, I need to talk about it more often. If it's every day to somebody, if it's writing it in the journal, if it's doing more rituals that remind me of it, I have to continue to absorb it. And I think that really changed the game and changed the way I approached it, rather than thinking, oh, I'm done with this grief thing. You're never done with it, no matter who you lose, no matter what level of it, because my dad lost his mom. I lost my grandmother. My cousin lost her grandmother. Like the kids lost their great grandmother. Everybody's level is different. And no matter who you lose, there's something in you that will be affected in on different scale. And you can't mm-hmm. compare your grief to another person's grief either. We just have to so that really helped me from that perspective, from the grief perspective of like loss and family and, you know, just trying to process it all. I think it was a little different because I didn't realize I had grief from moving away from New York because obviously I like moved away from my whole life to be mm-hmm. down in Florida for my niece and nephew when they were born. And I wanted to be a part of their lives. And I didn't even think anything about it when I moved. I was like, moving on, like the way I do. I just, I don't know what is in my brain that's like, all right, we're done with that. You know, and it always comes back around if you don't make room for it, if you don't process it. So, I mean, that's a good lesson for me moving sure. forward to know that like, it's not that easy. You have to live in the moment of it and absorb the pain and cry about it, even if it's like every day for a year or whatever. I stopped doing as many fitness series and allowed myself to like, not be like crazy about losing weight or fitness because that was not helping the process. Mm-hmm. That means I gained a little more weight than I wish I had, but I feel there was a reason for it. So there was like, I don't know, it's been like a crazy weird year of all these like great revelations and hard things and whatever. But so those are some of the takeaways I think from the process and just from going through grief counseling that really helped me like organize it all and like lay it out.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like you mentioned, certainly holding it in can be a bad thing and it helps to talk about it, but then it also helps to be able to like unpack all that stuff to someone who is, you know, like a actual mental health professional who can, I like the, you said the word organized because that's really what you're doing. You're figuring out where this stuff fits in your life and kind of just like the therapist told you, you can't just walk away from it. It's still part of you. You just have to figure out what to do with it and how to handle it.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be there. It's yeah. just, yeah.
And yeah, I think getting
out how to work with it.
Yeah. And getting like a tool belt of tools to sort of help from a professional standpoint. I also think the cool thing about therapy, and I said I've been to counseling one other time and I'm a big like believer in therapy. I'm an advocate for therapy. It's, you know, I really believe in it. And she's like, okay, but it's been a year, almost a year since your grandmother died and you've had this resource for a year. And you're telling me that you're a big advocate for therapy, but you haven't shown up for a whole year. And I was like, oh, right in the gut. And yeah, I was like, oops. Yeah, like you make a really good point. And I've been encouraging my family to go to therapy and being like, we need to use this resource, but I hadn't been using it myself.
Right.
Because I had thought that I was like, you know, over it. I had moved on. I didn't need it. And then I found out that wasn't true. Sure. And she really just was able to equip me with tools, hold up the mirror. That's all a therapist does, I think, is give you tools and hold up a mirror for what you already think of yourself. They're able yeah. to just put the mirror up and say, this is what you're looking at. This is who you think you are. Is that what you like? Is that what you want to see? Do you want to change it? And I think that then they give you the tools to be able to do that. So it's just speaking truth to yourself. And I think that that's, again, it took a while to get there, but it took a while for me to just realize I need to practice what I preach.
Yeah.
And just step into that and not like self-righteously tell other people what they need to do and not do it myself.
Oh,
silly,
yeah.
Liz.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of that is also once you do get to a therapist, recognizing that the therapist isn't going to fix your problems either.
That's right.
They're kind of like a tour guide, and a good therapist is also going to call you out on your bullshit.
Right. All they can do is be a guide.
If you're kind of, depending on how open or not open you are with them, and if you're giving them kind of the same excuses that maybe you give to other people or that you even give to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. A good therapist is going to be able to see through that and say, hey, you're not dealing with this. You're just deflecting.
Yeah. And then mine was definitely able to see that. Yeah. And I have tend to be a contemplative person by nature. I really try to like be aware of things that I need to work on. I'm constantly like, I think that's part of being a writer and being a blogger and being on social media is I have to go through that process and know who I am if I want to share that with anybody. I think, but there are still corners of your mind that you don't, that you put a little wall up and say, I'll deal with that later. But I do think being on social media helped too, because I've created such a community on Twitter and Instagram, or mainly Instagram, that I feel really safe with and comfortable sharing those things with. Now, not everybody feels that, but I definitely have. So I never saw like not being able to blog as like a failure in any way, because I was working, cultivating this other community that was just so positive for me and that I felt like I could pour back into and share my mental health journey. And I had so many people be like, oh, I've been through that too. Or thank you for your advice or words, or just, I know I'm not alone in it because I see you going through it. And I think it's sort of true in my whole life, is that people look at me and see one thing and make, I think everybody does it with everybody, but I am often aware of what people think of me, and they see me and think like, whatever they think about it, I'm intimidating, or I've been called like a prom queen person, or like, you know, this sort of like blonde girl that you think is one way. And I think when people get to know me, I'm not just like, nobody's just one thing. We're all a million things. But I think that that's helped people see that I have a lot of these different sides. And I think that's part of what this community is for. So that really helped me get through and just be able to share myself with everybody. So
very nice. You've also have had two new recent additions to your life. One of them is your car.
My car, yes.
which is a replacement car. And at a glance, people might not realize that this is a replacement car, because it looks exactly the same as your old car.
Yes. So my family loves bugs, VW bugs. I had a yellow bug that was my grandmother's, a 2000 bug. Her name is Lady Bug. Mm-hmm. And when Granny couldn't drive anymore after she broke her hip, she gave me her car, which was amazing because I didn't have one. And I had been driving it around since before she passed. And I love that car so much. And it's a bright yellow bug, very noticeable in the city. And a couple, like maybe what, a month ago, she broke down. Lady broke down. And so my aunt also has a yellow bug, a 2008 bug. And that is now my new bug. So it really doesn't look at all different because her bug is also yellow. And so I'm just driving an 8 years newer yellow bug whose name is Bunny, Bugs Bunny. A Bugs Timothy Bunny. I'm
yes,
so sorry.
Yes, I was just going to say.
I knew you were going to be upset there if I didn't mention her middle name.
Uh-huh.
Tim wanted me to name her after him, but I said she could have the middle name.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm cool
with
that.
And so it does look like I'm driving the same car. She shows up sometimes in my Insta story. She's a little mini Insta famous. Actually, everybody at the Dunkin' Donuts knows her because Lizzie runs on Dunkin'. And every time I come through the drive-through, if I was driving, because for a while I had to borrow like my parents' car or like bop around cars, and they would be like, "Where's the bug?" And I'm like, "She died," and they were so sad. And then I showed back up in the new bug and Bunny, and they were like, "Wait, we thought she died." And I was like, "Oh yeah, no, she did. This is a different bug." And they were like, "Wait, you have another? How is this possible?"
8 years newer is a big difference, though.
It is a big difference. This one has a sunroof. It's a very huge difference. And so my aunt got a new bug, and hers is the bright emerald green brand new bug, and it's beautiful.
Nice.
So yeah, we're bug family. That's my new addition.
Very good.
And my other new addition.
You've got another new addition.
I do.
One that seems to spend an awful lot of time in your dollhouse.
It's actually my niece's dollhouse. I'm working on it for her. I was going to work on it for her 5th birthday. It was my dollhouse when I was a kid. Obviously, I don't use it or play with it anymore. Although I wouldn't put it past me, but I don't. And it was just sitting in my grandmother's house. And I was like, what can I do with this? Because it's beautiful. My dad built it for me and I love it. It's just unfinished. I never finished it. So it's just unfinished wood, unfinished flooring. And I thought, oh my gosh, my niece Lucy, who is going to be 3 in January, would freaking love it. So I've been trying to work on it and make it for her and update the rooms and have a playroom and a baby room and a kitchen and a whole thing. Paint it, add flooring, make furniture and the whole thing. But sort of this, through this whole grief process, I've sort of like gotten off of all of my crafts and now I need to get back on them. But in the meantime, I got a cat, a kitten. She's 9 weeks old. She'll be 10 weeks old next week.
And she put you in the hospital already.
She did put me. I accidentally. She was found in the parking lot of my church, and everybody knew I was maybe like sort of thinking about possibly one day maybe getting a kitten or a cat. Because Tom Hanks, my other cat, he passed away in February.
Oh, poor Tom.
I know, I love Tommy. But I wasn't ready to like get another animal for a while. But then she came along and I was like, okay, I think you're my kitten. And she's adorable. And her name is Trillian Myra Angela Rogers. Trillian is for The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. And we watched that movie like the first couple days she was with me and she loved it. Or I think the first night. She loved it. She loved the singing dolphins. And so I was like, I have to name her something from this movie. And I could have called her plenty of other funny names, but I went with Trillian. Moira Angela is from Wendy, Moira Angela Darling in the Disney world. And then Rogers is my imaginary boyfriend, Captain America's last name, and she's taking his last name. So that's her name. And yes, she, so anyway, she likes to play in the dollhouse. I had to move all the furniture out because she's all over that thing. I don't know what she does when I'm not there. Gets stuck on the roof. I don't know. She can't jump down. She just stands up at the top and just screams at me. And I'm like, what do you do when I'm gone? So, yes, she did scratch me in my eye. Not on eyeball, but on the outer part of my eye. And I had like a reaction. I had to go to the hospital, emergency room. But it's been better since. And we're just getting used to each other. And she's adorable. And I love her. So I'm a single cat mom, you guys. Okay. You just, no one ever tells you what it's like when you have to do it all alone. it's lovely and I love it. So yeah. Bunny and Trillian. That's my posse.
So lots of things. So you were talking before about this realization that Nerd in the City is kind of a past life. And so where does that bring you now?
So I started to think about the things that I'm involved in and working on down here. And I spend an inordinate amount of time at Walt Disney World, as if anyone follows me will know. My whole Instagram is like basically dedicated to Disney.
I actually have a bed there.
I should.
Because, like, there's times that, like, first thing in the morning I get up and you're already showing video from Disney. And then when I go to bed, you're still showing video from Disney.
I like to go for the whole day when I can. So I have an annual pass, which is amazing. I got it in May and it's been, like, a game changer as far as just, like, feeling free to go there whenever. I've met so many amazing people there, other influencers, people who live here, people from out of town that have become my friends. I've just created such an awesome community there. And it's a lot to spend a day or half a day with somebody at Disney. You have to be able to be in lines together, to stand the heat together, to like sort of go with the flow or make a plan together. It's like traveling with another person sort of on a small scale. Sure. So I don't choose to do it with everybody, but the people that I've chosen to do it with are part of this community. It has been amazing. And I'm so lucky to like be a part of this. So upon my decision of the rebrand, I was like, well, I have to take Disney into consideration because I get messaged a lot for tips on how to take kids to Disney because I take my nieces and nephews. I've taken friends' kids of a lot of different ages. I've taken 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds. 9-year-olds, 11-year-olds. I've taken a lot of different age groups. I go by myself. And a lot of people ask me questions about the single rider life. Like, what's it like to go alone? Because that's a very specific thing to go to Disney by yourself. A lot of people don't think about that. So I was like, well, I have a lot of tips and things to offer. But again, Nerd in the City just didn't seem to fit when I tried to write from that point of view. I was like, it doesn't match with where I'm at now. So the new site is called The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie. And that's a reference to Tigger. The wonderful thing about Tigger is Tigger's the wonderful things. And part of it is because I've been on, for the past 10 years probably, on a journey of really like accepting myself in whatever form I'm in or whatever, wherever I am in life. Because I was very insecure, didn't have a lot of self-love in high school. It was really tough in college. I was like mousy. I was a D student. I didn't excel at things. I didn't love school, or it just was, I don't think anyone would recognize me if they saw me back then. I felt like my confidence was off-putting. And so I tried to like hide it and not be confident and to like not have other people feel like, oh, she's intimidating or whatever. I don't do that anymore, partly because intimidation doesn't come from anything that I do. People are intimidated because there's something that they're feeling insecure about, and I'm a mirror of that thing. And it's my job to be encouraging and loving and kind, and to say, like, you don't have to be afraid of that. If you're seeing that in me, you have that too. You're just afraid of it or whatever. However, I can be encouraging rather than trying to adjust something in myself. So part of it is the wonderful thing about Lizzie is that I finally feel that way, that there is a wonderful thing, you know, like I love being able to be that and have people see that in me and share that and not feel like I have to, like, you know, hide it some way or downplay it or, you know, wear dowdy clothes so no one feels threatened, you know, like that's a tough thing to get to. I think that's a really long journey. And this is sort of a culmination of that journey, is saying that, like, this is 100% who I am. I'm a 35-year-old single female who goes and plays at Disney at least 3 times a week. Like, I am a giant kid, and I love that about myself. And if there's something in you that wants to learn more about that, then this is the place you should be, you know? So that's sort of where I'm at. My website launch is on its way. It's forthcoming. It's taking longer because I have to transfer a lot of stuff over, and it's a lot of moving parts, but the Instagram and the Twitter are already changed. Actually, so my producing partner, Christina, we did our, you met Christina, but we did our, my web series. She was my producer. That's called So This Happened on YouTube. And she was very sad to see Nerd in the City go, because that was our sort of, we had spun it into our production company, and it was like our umbrella of all the things that we wanted to do. And I was like, I totally get that. But it's not only is it not you, because you never were Nerd in the City, you're your own thing. It's no longer me either. And we need to find something that might represent the both of us. Sure. So we still haven't figured out maybe what that is, the thing that we sort of collaborate under. But hers is a personal producer, obviously, because she's a producer and she's amazing. She helped me produce my whole web series and a lot of other projects.
Which, so she folks, was very sad I'll to tell see. You, and I may have said this a year ago when I talked to Liz when we did the interview then, but your web series was brilliant.
Thanks.
Absolutely brilliant. Very funny. Very well done. Very relevant. I think it's still very relevant to people who watch it. I think it tells a really good story, and it's just fun and interesting. And it's I definitely recommend it. If you've not seen it, you know, search it out. And where can people find it?
Well, on the new site, there will be a tab for web series. So it is on YouTube, and if you search, I think it's kind of buried, so I don't know how to direct people to it. It's still Nerd in the City, and if you do So This Happened on YouTube, so it's So This Happened, and if that doesn't come up, type Nerd in the City with it, and it should come up. Good. But on the new site, there will be a tab for it, because I'm also working on a new web series that I hope will launch in the new year, for Instagram stories. I'm working on we'll get there. There's a lot of things I'm working on, but I feel like the thing that feels really freeing is that I was really beating my head against the wall over the past year trying to work on things, and it felt like work, and it felt like drawing blood. Like, it just felt like I was trying and trying and trying, and nothing was like, when ideas hit me, it just flows out, and it feels like I'm in tune with the universe, and like I've got like a direct channel to God, and he's just like pouring ideas in me.
Sure.
And it didn't feel that way, but I knew because I had done that for so long, there's an expectation of that with me. People think that of that when they think of me. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to sort of keep up with something that I had done myself. You know, I made that sort of expectation on myself, and it was really hard to keep up with. And now it feels like, it's like just a snowball. It's like, oh, okay, that's working. Let's do another thing. Okay, how can we support that with another thing? And like, so now it's like, okay, I need to slow down because I don't want to get to the point where I'm like too many things, but I'm excited and it's coming out so much quicker and easier, and it feels wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what else are, so what's the whole new wonderful thing about Lizzie package that's pulling together here?
So I think the main idea and the whole thing behind it is that content creation. So that is sort of across the gambit, because it's not, everyone says find a niche, and I never liked that. I never wanted to find like one thing, because I'm a little all over the place. I'm a little bit of everything. So I feel like the wonderful thing about Lizzie is representative of all the little facets of my life. But above all, it's about creating content, like creation. And being a part of the creative process. So whether I'm working on an Etsy shop, so that's physical creation with my hands. I'm working on a web series, so that's creation with using digital media and storytelling. I'm working on a book club, a Disney book club called the Enchanted Book Club, which is sort of, it's maybe not creation, but like creating questions and creating engagement with people. I'm working on an Enchanted podcast called Enchanted Chatter. Or Disney podcast called Enchanted Chatter, which is creating connection across podcasts, you know, all corners of podcasting, with the basis that everybody sort of has something to do with Disney. I think whether you grew up with it, whether you started going to the parks when you're older, whether you don't like it because of an experience you had or whatever, I think there's. I'd have to really search and search to find somebody who didn't know anything about Disney. It's it's become above and beyond pop culture. Juggernaut, not in small part from owning Star Wars and Marvel and all these other acquisitions, but also just because of what it has been a part of our childhoods. So I think everybody has a story about Disney, and I sort of want to find out what those are. So those are some of the things I'm working on, and that I hope the wonderful thing about Lizzie and the website itself can encapsulate and sort of be an umbrella for all of those little facets of things that I want to explore in creation. I have some, I released a couple of my parody songs. I'm a musician and singer. I had some Disney Star Wars Christmas carols I wrote. I have some other parodies that I'd like to like record and do music videos for. So, you know, creation in the realm of music. So I sort of wanted to encapsulate all of those things and say, yeah, like my niche is sort of Disney, and it all sort of maybe points back to that. But I'm not just one thing. I want to share all the things that I can do. And so that's sort of where I'm at. And I think a lot of the things that's translated into is, travel, and things that I might not write as much about is travel. I teach a preschool art class. I teach piano lessons. Like there's all these other things that I want to be able to share, but those are the main things that I'll probably focus on. So I don't know, who knows what else will come to my brain.
Good.
It's got a lot of little corners.
So. Let's tell me a little bit more about the podcast. So Enchanted Chatter,
yes.
You're going to be bringing that to the Random Chatter Network.
Yes.
Right? So that will be an addition that folks will be able to get right here.
Yep.
And what do you want to do with it? What do you want to talk about on there? I mean, we cover some very specific things that are kind of within the world of Disney already here on the network. We talk about Star Wars stuff and we talk about Marvel stuff, but obviously there's so much more to Disney. I mean, you mentioned the parks, and certainly there's a lot of other movies out there that they do. And I mean, just all sorts of little facets of things So there's definitely a lot of room to explore. What kinds of stuff do you want to talk about?
So I've reached out to a lot of the influencers and Instagrammer friends that I have a part of my community on Instagram, and mm-hmm. I've invited them to be guests on the podcast, sort of in a little bit of an interview discussion platform. So each person will sort of bring a take to that conversation based on what they love about Disney. But what I really want to sort of peel back is that, like, where are people's entry points? What is it about Disney that they first were introduced about, or what is it that really makes them keep coming back to Disney? Whether it is the movies, the animated films, the live action films, there's so much coming out from Disney. Mm-hmm. We've got Wreck-It Ralph 2 in November. We've got Mary Poppins Returns in December. There's so many things in the new year. And I just think, like I said, everybody has an entry point or has something that they feel connected to Disney itself. Yeah. Now, Marvel and Star Wars will sort of come into play occasionally, sure. But it's really not going to be my focus. But I really want to hear people's stories about, like, where they came into that. And then, so I have one friend, Alicia, on Instagram, and she loves horror and Disney. And to me, those things don't go together at all.
No.
But those are her two loves. Awesome. And you can see it, right? She's got all these awesome tattoos and short, choppy blue hair. And she's so edgy and amazing. And that's, and I think she's really played on and encouraged other people who don't necessarily look like the Disney, like, princess type. Because Disney is so, I think, inclusive in this, in a way that, like, the way they tell their stories is sort of everybody has a place. And I think they've gotten so much better at diversity and really representation. I think they can do better, but they've been really upping the ante, I feel. Mm-hmm. There's always room for improvement. But I think that's what I've seen as far as the people that I've met at Disney or on Instagram who love Disney. And I thought, like, oh my gosh, these people are amazing. And they probably have really great stories to tell about how they fell in love in Disney and the ways that they interact with either the movies, the parks, the Disney Bounds, which is Disney Bounding is cosplay light. So if you want to dress up as a character, you're not allowed to cosplay at the parks as adults. You can 14 and under, you're allowed to dress up, but over 14, you can't.
Oh, but, really? I didn't know that.
Yes. But you can Disney Bound, which is, so if I wore like a yellow skirt, a blue top, and a red bow in my hair, I might be Snow White. And it would just sort of nod to the character without fully being in a costume.
Largely, they don't want guests confusing cosplayers with the actual characters.
Right. They have a very specific brand that they mm-hmm. are trying to represent, and they don't want any competition with that.
Sure.
So, which makes a lot of sense, except for Halloween events, you're allowed to dress up like they're having a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party for the next couple months or for October. And you are allowed to dress up for that. But so Disney Bounding is a huge pocket of Instagrammers and influencers and bloggers that have like come about. It's huge. So there's that aspect of it. There's merchandise and Etsy shops and small businesses. Whereas 10 years ago, Disney would have shut those down because they would have been in direct competition. But Disney has allowed those shops to flourish mm-hmm. and has sort of a symbiotic relationship with them. And sort of that has spurred a lot of business, a lot of brand representation. And there's just so many cool facets that I've found being a part of the Instagram community that I think would really translate really well onto a podcast format, and not just influencers, but podcasters. I'm looking into getting some voice actors, some authors, and just sort of what is the work people are doing in the Disney community, the work that we do being inspired by the Disney community. It's just become, I always loved Disney. Since I was a little kid, I'm predisposed to love Disney. It's in my DNA, but I just never thought I could love it this much as an adult. And it wasn't till I moved back home and my uncle worked there. And so he got me in until I bought my annual pass. He would let me come in for like once a month, and I would go to Disney as an adult just by myself. And I just was like, wow, I can do this. I'm allowed to do that. I'm allowed to like go play and be a kid and sort of like leave my worries behind and go like be at a castle for the day, you know? So Like, I want everybody.
Is that what inspires you the most about Disney? Is kind of that transporting you out of reality thing? Is there something else? What aspect of Disney do you kind of like gravitate toward the most?
I think it's definitely that sort of fantastical. That it's a very immersive place. And I think when you're there, you can just feel like you're in another country, sort of. And I love travel. And so I think travel's expensive. And, you know, you can only go to Paris so often if you're on a, you know, church budget, work, you know, salary. But I think that it allows – oh, this is the other thing I love about it. There's nowhere in Florida that is remotely like New York except for Disney.
Yeah.
And
– you're right.
Yeah, I think when I go there, it reminds me a little enough of the atmosphere and feeling of being in New York without actually being in New York. It's
oh sure,
bustling
there's
around.
There's a lot of people around. There's food vendors. There's things that you literally have to look up at.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. I can definitely see that.
Yeah, there's a pace. There's an energy, and I think that like. I need that. I'm an energetic person. I'm an extrovert. I love to meet people. I meet people in lines when I'm there. If somebody needs a picture taken, I have the face that like people always ask me, and I'm excited to do it because I know how to take a good picture at Disney. So I love that. And I think I've tapped into something that I missed moving from New York. And I found a small piece of it at Disney, and that's been a game changer for me to feel like I have that, a little bit of that here.
So it's interesting then that it may seem on the surface that it's a completely different change from this New York City thing to this Disney thing, that there's actually similarities between the two, and that's what kind of connects it within you.
Yeah, and I think I didn't even realize that till you just said that. That's like a really good point. I think that there is a connectivity between those two because I mean, I felt it when I was in Paris, and that's why it was so easy to write my blogs and my posts, and I was filling my journal up with stories, and that is what I need to feel like I can tell those, and I can feel that inspiration, and when I'm just, it's really hard for me to just go about my everyday life as if like bigger things aren't going on, you know, and like we're all just going about our lives and these big, huge, huge things go on every day, like hurricanes or, you know, the children detained at the border, political issues. I'm not going to get political, but political issues and domestic issues and foreign issues. I have a giant, very big heart for human trafficking issues. I find it insane that we all shop the way we shop without thinking about who makes our clothes. Mm-hmm. And that has made me change the way that I shop. I shop thrift, secondhand, vintage. I don't buy a lot of things or most things from major stores. I don't buy Disney merchandise a lot, other than maybe ears or jewelry that I can't find anywhere else. There's so many clothes already out there that if I can't find what I'm looking for, I need to change what I'm looking for, you know?
Sure.
So that those kinds of things are going on constantly in the world, and it's hard for me to just feel like, go to work and type on my computer, like nothing's going on. But when I'm able to just sort of turn that part of my brain off, the social justice part of my brain, which is a part that I'm glad I have and I try to use it as much as I can, sometimes you do have to turn that off. And I feel like at Disney, I'm able to like just be like, okay, the world is a beautiful place and people with families are enjoying their lives and things are wonderful. You know, things can be wonderful. And that doesn't mean there aren't still dark corners or dark things. Is Disney making the right choices every minute of the day? No, of course they're not. So I can't be unaware of that. I owe it to myself and to the company that I really like to ask for better work conditions for people or better practices on making their clothes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I am able to sort of turn off that part of my brain when I'm there. And you have to be able to turn it off sometimes. So that's another part of it that I really enjoy, it helps me to be able to turn it off. So
good. Well, and you know, it's an unfortunate reality of the world that I think that when, at least for most companies, when they get large enough, not to say that they have questionable business practices, but they do, they make business decisions that sometimes have certain social impacts that they may be overlooking for some reason.
Yeah.
And there are things, it's not to say that those impacts are not important, and there's certainly things that we want to see corrected, but if we constantly live our lives combating that all the time, it's going to put us in a very small box ourselves.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, also, and
especially when you have, companies that are otherwise good, I mean, they're doing good things, and, you know, just because they're making money doesn't mean that they're not doing good things and that we can enjoy what they do and all that stuff. So, you know, we still want to be able to support them for doing the good things that they're doing, while still once in a while mentioning, hey, look, we still don't like this one thing that you do.
Yeah. Or I think having a seat at the table means that you can enact change. And mm-hmm. I'm not really a big person who does a lot like a protesting companies or any, by any means ever. Like, I can't tell you one company I've ever protested. I'm not a big fan of Walmart, but I don't boycott it or protest it. I think people shop at Walmart and sometimes they need to. Is it something I want to be shopping at? No, but
right.
All right. You know, so I think that having a seat at the table means that you can bring people up to a higher level of responsibility. So mm-hmm. I could let what I know about Disney, there's dark corners of Disney's whole history that I could sit and say, like, that's reason enough for me to be like, nope, boycotting. But I can't, because I really believe in a lot of the things that they're doing. And I want to sit at the table to say, how can we do better? How can I encourage you to be better? Because I love your company and I love the overall message. And there's just these things like more diversity, like more representation across cultures and mm-hmm. genders, that I want to see more of. And I want you to rise to that level of responsibility. And that means I don't walk away from the table. It means I sit down and have a seat at the table.
Sure.
Huge, weird tangent. Sorry.
No, I think it's very relevant, because there, very oftentimes there are folks who will say, hey, look, you're not acknowledging the reality of this. And hey, you know, you have this great love for Disney, but what about A, what about B? You know, on both Random Chatter and Guardians of the MCU, you and I have both very strongly voiced our opinions about the whole James Gunn situation.
Very strongly.
Yeah. And, you know, so, I mean, there's choices that they make as a company, which we don't agree with. And that's okay. We can still support them and still support the good things that they're doing and still disagree with them. I mean, it's just like having a friend or a family member who you love very much. And boy, but when they do that, they're a real jerk. But hey, otherwise, they're a great person, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think
you know, there are certain things you can overlook, and but I think that there's this bit of reality to it, that you're just not looking at everything through what do they say, rose-colored lenses.
Right.
You do see the reality of it for what it is, and but you're seeing it as a whole package, and the net value of it to you is positive.
Yeah. And I think we're living in a time of, again, not to get political, but I think that that has translated across a lot of areas, in that the way that people are talking about politics right now mm-hmm. are the way that people are talking about other things. And oh, yeah. It's sort of seeped into our culture to not be able to have a bipartisan or partisan conversation without yelling or being like, you don't believe what I believe, I'm out, or whatever. And I think that we're in danger of not being able to sit at a table together. And I mean, I've had plenty of conversations with people who are like, you know, oh, I believe the exact opposite of you. And I'm like, well, tell me why. Like, let's talk about it. And I want to be able to facilitate all kinds of conversations like that. And I think that I have, I mean, I can always do better at it, because sometimes I'm short-sightedness drives me crazy, or like just ignorance with no intention of broadening your mind. That mm-hmm. that's something that I'm like, don't you want to see what the world is like? But some people genuinely don't. Does that make them evil or bad? You know, no. And I need to be able to have a conversation with them. So I think being able to broaden your horizon and have those conversations and have the tough conversations mm-hmm. and say, I disagree with this action. I still care about you as a person. Now, as long as they're not murdering or hurting somebody or committing crimes against humanity or whatever, fine. You get to be judged on those things.
Yep.
You know, but.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks who will, and it just kind of seems lately, like in the last few years, and I think some of it is fueled by social media, some of it is just fueled by general attitudes and the fact that folks are just kind of fed up with a lot of things, but they are so quick to jump to conclusions and to have judgment, and just because one person or one company does something, one thing that they don't like, that automatically means they're a bad person or a bad company. And I think people are refusing to look at the big picture. And we even see this with political parties. Well, you know, just because you happen to be in favor of this one thing, well, hey, maybe we can find a common ground. And people are so reluctant to do what you just mentioned, which is, well, let's have a discussion, be constructive, try to understand each other's perspective. And if anything, at the very, very least, we can amicably agree to disagree. But that's making an informed decision. We at least now can see each other's perspectives. We may not agree with them, but at least we have some understanding of them. And that's a part of society that seems to be a thing that society is losing.
Yeah, and I just think it's harder and harder to have those conversations. So I think one of the things that I'd love to see maybe come out of the just to bring it back around, maybe to come out of having this new podcast is really facilitating conversations that maybe I didn't even anticipate going into it, you know, with different people from all different backgrounds. And I think that's the only way we can step forward is to really broaden our horizons. So that's what I really hope Enchanted Chatter might offer is like all different. Like so Andrea, who's a host on this network, she's a Spanish speaker, and she talks about her entry point to a lot of movies being through Spanish eyes. And I never even thought about somebody watching a movie that I love from a different language and how that might change the story in some way or change the way that they interact with it because they're listening through dubbed or through subtitles. And that really does change the way you interact with it. And just hearing her perspective on a lot of Disney films broadened my mind so much just in that one conversation because I just had never thought about it. I grew up the way I grew up. Why would I ever have imagined watching it a way I could never fathom? You know, I have to talk to somebody who did it another way from me to understand it. And so I was like, whoa, that's amazing. I want to hear more. And so that's, I think, maybe something in the whole Enchanted Chatter realm that I'd love to facilitate is sort of just understanding that Disney isn't just my perspective and I see Disney a certain way. How do other people see it? Everybody has to have a different viewpoint of it, whether, like I said, whether it's good or bad, whether it's going to be a debate or from two opposing sides or from, you know, something similar or more parallel. So I hope that I'm able to facilitate something like that and maybe introduce people to other people that they didn't know about. I have a lot of friends in other podcast networks that I think would, you know, to cross pollinate. I don't like getting in one lane. I like to go across and be in lots of lanes. So I think that could be really cool for the podcast. And I have I already have like 7 to 12 hosts that I'm like that's talking awesome. To. And that's not even like my list is much longer than that, but I'm excited to start there.
That's great. When's your, what are you looking at? We're not going to hold you to a specific date, but what are you looking at for a launch for the podcast?
Well, I'm hopefully recording my first episode Friday. Okay. I've never edited or show ran my own podcast before. You know, I'm on Guardians of the MCU with you. I'm on Random Chatter and Fangirl Confessional, and we were on Movie Rampage, but I was never the showrunner of any of those. So I sort of have to figure out. I'll probably be picking your brain soon.
That's fine. You know, I'm here for you.
I know. Thanks. So I sort of have to figure out that part of it. I get by with a lot of help from my friends. So I do need to figure out like my own tempo of making things and releasing them. So that is sort of, and I have to unveil the website first too. So it's like a lot of moving parts. I foresee October being a very busy month creatively, which I'm excited about. So yeah, I just have to like dive in. And sometimes I get like overwhelmed or intimidated, to use that word, by my own work, like that I'm like, oh, it's too scary to start. Like, and then once I start, I'm like, oh, I know how to do this. I'm smart.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm like, I'm not techie. I don't know how to code. I don't know how that works or whatever. But as soon as I start doing research or just like diving into it, I find out I can do it. So sometimes it's just taking that first step.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes all the time it's taking that first step, no matter what it is. If it's whatever. Yeah.
No, so, I completely agree with that. And it's amazing that, you know, the tutorials you can find on YouTube for darn near anything right now.
Oh my gosh. There's so much out there to like help you. Okay, so I went to one more small story. I don't know what we're on time or anything, but I went to a blog con in New York. You and I hung out that week. Mm-hmm. It was when I went up in August for this with this whole revelation and the nerd in the city thing and the wonderful thing about Lizzie sort of being born in my brain. And at this con, it was a creator's summit. And so all of these creators and influencers and people with like high profile blogs and everything where they're talking about what they do. And somebody, the writer of The Hate U Give, which is now being made into a movie, she got her book deal on Twitter. She reached out to the publisher and he was like, send me a manuscript. And she got her book written and she got it published. And now it's being made into a movie. And another one talked about her blog and how she just started at the bottom. And now she's got like thousands and hundreds of thousands of followers, or how somebody else got a business opportunity through Instagram DMs. You know, like it's just over and over again, all of these connections or things. And I walked away thinking, I don't have any excuses like not to be creating and not to be out there putting things out there. And I didn't feel hindered in New York. And what do I need to bring home with me from New York that will allow me to not feel hindered in Florida? Because I have no excuses. If I'm not able to get things written, if I'm not able to show people the stories I want to tell, the buck stops with me because I stopped myself, or I got in the way, or I let Netflix do the talking because I just wanted to watch 25 episodes of Friends one night, or, you know, which is perfectly fine. Sometimes you need to shut off, but like, am I shutting off more than I'm turning on my inspiration?
Right.
So that was super helpful for me to say, like, I don't have any excuses. And if I'm not putting it out there, then I have to look in the mirror and say, like, don't regret what you did because you could have changed it and you didn't. So you don't get to be sad about not putting your stuff out there because you just didn't do it. Like, and so I think that sort of snowballed into this launch and this like time of hopefully just really sort of finding my, just narrowing my focus and just really getting down to what I want to do for the future. So that was very helpful. So I would leave that as a message to everybody else, is like, there are just no excuses. Like, we are living in a time where there are less gatekeepers. You can't, as far as getting into businesses like book publishing, like modeling or photography, like getting into acting, there are so many avenues now that you can get into those things. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to get into them, you won't. But if you do want to, you just have to show up. And I think that I haven't been showing up for the past 3 years. And I hope that that's about to change, and I'm going to make a change because I don't like what I've seen from myself. And it really took going through this whole process to sort of peel back and say, like, is that who you want to be going into the next phase of your life?
Yeah.
And if you don't, you have to change it. Nobody's changing it for you. So that was like a big revelation for me. So thank you, Blogger.
Yeah. I mean, it's the thing is, it's not difficult to be creative, but it does take some work.
Oh, yes.
And it's the... Unfortunately, it's far easier to get stuck in the trap of being lazy or just dealing with the day-to-day stuff and not setting aside time to be creative or to make certain connections or to learn how to do something. It's just easy to say, I'm just going to veg and, you know, watch something on Netflix or play a game or do whatever. So it certainly does take some focus and some dedication to do it. But by and large, I mean, unless you're learning some brand new complex skill or something that maybe isn't compatible with your personality, it's not overly challenging for most people.
Yeah, I think you're hitting it on, like, there's nothing wrong with staying home and watching Netflix. And sure, if you want to do it every night of your life and you are incandescently happy with that,
right,
with that life, then that is a life well lived. And nobody's life will, nobody will feel that way about that because that's for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you, so wherever you're, if you're, whatever you're doing, volunteering every night or giving or taking or whatever, whatever you need to be doing,
mm-hmm,
if you're happy with that, then that's enough. But I have noticed in myself an unhappiness, and that is from not creating and putting the ideas that come into my brain. And then I have a notebook by my bed and I wake up in the middle of the night and I put those notes in it and then it just sits there.
Yeah.
And it is weighed on me to not do anything with it. And being at things like Blogger or being in New York just by myself or going to Disney has sort of started to peel back why I haven't done it or what has been holding me back. And all of those things are maybe not stupid. I don't want to say stupid. They've had their place in my life and I've needed to get through them or get over them. But I've put them above this sort of creation or this thing of that is myself, that is my heart. I put those things above it and it's weighed me down and I don't want to be in that place anymore. So here we go. This is it.
Good. Very good. So is there anything else that you want to throw out there for the benefit of our listeners?
Goodness, I think I've thrown everything out, guys. I don't think that I've, like I said, just a lot of things coming down, and Insta story is the best way to find out what's going on with me. And I try to archive a lot of the main points so that people can catch up, but it's just the best way to engage. And I love responding. I always respond to people, or I try to, and engage back. And I've just found such a community there, and the more people are the merry. So I would encourage anybody who wants to know more about me personally to come there. And then hopefully when I have my site up and I'm hopefully looking into doing like a mailing list and having like a weekly email subscription or something like that to sort of recap what's going on. Those are kind of the things. And I love meeting new people. I love making new friends. So I don't know. However I can be an inspiration to other people and bring them into that in any way is what I really want to be doing. So that's all. That's my life. That's what's happening.
Good.
Who knew I had so much to talk about? I'm a talker. You guys know that. I like talking.
So as you had mentioned earlier, folks can find you on Guardians of the MCU. They can find you on Random Chatter. They can find you on Fangirl Confessional.
Yes.
They can find you in our Discord community for Random Chatter.
Yes. If they call three times. Mike just called three times, actually. And if you call once, I'll come. I just say three times that I like how it sounds. But
she's kind of like Beetlejuice. That's
I'm exactly like Beetlejuice. Kidding. I will answer if you just call one time, I promise. I just sometimes I miss it, so if you do three times, for some reason I see it quicker. Mike always calls three times. It cracks me up. Yes, you can find me in Discord. There will be hopefully a podcast channel for Enchanted Chatter soon. I'm not there yet, but it will be there. So yeah. And then you can find me on Instagram at the wonderful thing about Lizzie. The whole thing. And then correction, I just realized I said it wrong on a couple other podcasts. On Twitter, you cannot find me at The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie. You have to do TWT About Lizzie, because The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie is too long for Twitter, jerks. so you have to do TWT About Lizzie, and that is where I'll be on Twitter.
Perfect.
Yay.
Well, there it is. Lizzie, thank you for spending time with me and sharing your news about The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie.
Thank you for having me on again. I like chatting with you, as you know, Tim.
Of course. Anytime. And so soon, folks are also going to be able to find you on Enchanted Chatter.
That's right.
Here at the Random Chatter Network. So, yeah, we will get you set up with that, and things will be good.
Things are great.
Awesome. Thanks, Lizzie.
Thank you.